Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's podcast is presented by Pago. Pago is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Pago. I recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today, become a member, and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's Pago.co at Podgo.co. And don't forget to tell your listeners to add Monster Legend Podcast in the how to hear about Pago section of this application. Okay. So don't forget to mention me when you sign up, people.
Monster Legend Podcast. In the dark of the night comes a shimmering light to guide you. All along the twisted roads in your mind, darkness grows. And the whispering trees blow a dark haunting breeze right through you. Telling tales young and old, I hope that you enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. What's going on? It's me, Tanner. This is Monster Legend Podcast, the weekly podcast about cryptids and folklore around the world. And this week, we're in South Carolina. I'll give a big shout-out and thank you to everybody at the Small Town Monster Facebook group. They really helped me out on this research and everything. And finding cryptids in South Carolina. So how has it been? I've been working like tens all week, so I'm exhausted. It's Saturday now. Thankfully we got Saturday off. We were scheduled for like Thursday, but thankfully we called off Friday. But let's get into it. South Carolina. One of the 13 original colonies, South Carolina has had a rich and varied history. When Spanish and French explorers arrived in the area in the 16th century, they found a land inhabited by small tribes of Native Americans, the largest of which were the Cherokees and the Catawbas. The first European attempts at settlement failed, but in 1670, a permanent English settlement was established on the coast near present-day Charleston. The colony, named Carolina after King Charles I, was divided in 1710 into South Carolina and North Carolina. Settlers from the British Isles, France, and other parts of Europe built plantations throughout the coastal low country, growing profitable crops of rice and indigo. African slaves were brought into the colony in large numbers to provide labor for the plantation, and by 1720, they formed the majority of the population. The port city of Charleston became an important center of commerce and culture. The interior upcountry, meanwhile, was being slowly settled by small farmers and traders, who pushed the dwindling tribes of Native Americans to the west. By the time of the American Revolution, South Carolina was one of the richest colonies in America. Its merchant and planters formed a strong governing class, contributing many leaders to fight for independence. More Revolutionary War battles and skirmishes were fought in South Carolina than any other state, including major engagements at Sullivan's Island, Camden, Kings Mountain, and Cowpens. South Carolina ratified the United States Constitution on May 23, 1788, becoming the 8th state to enter the Union. In the following years, the states grew and prospered. With the invention of the cotton gin, cotton became a major crop, particularly in the upcountry. A new capital city, Columbia, was founded in the center of the state, reducing somewhat the political power of the Lowcountry elite. Dissatisfaction within the federal government and its tariff policies grew during this period. In the 1820s, South Carolinian John C. Calhoun developed the theory of nullification, by which a state could reject any federal law considered to be a violation of its rights. Armed conflict was avoided during this period, but by 1860, tensions between the state and the federal government reached a climax. Unhappy over restrictions on free trade and about calls for the abolition of slavery, South Carolina seceded from the Union on December 20, 1860. The first of the southern states to do so, when Confederate troops fired on Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor on April 12, 1861. Nation plunged into civil war. The Civil War and its aftermath were devastating for South Carolina. The state lost nearly one-fifth of the white male population, and its economy was shattered. A final blow came in 1865 when General William T. Sherman marched his troops through South Carolina, burning plantations and most of the city of Columbia. The Reconstruction period that followed the war was marked by general economic, social, and political upheaval. The former white leaders found themselves without money or political power, while the large population of freed slaves sought to improve their economic and political positions. When federal troops withdrew in 1877, white conservatives, led by Governor Wade Hampton, were able to take control of state government once again. However, the economy continued to suffer in the years that followed. Crop prices were low, and the plantation system that brought South Carolina such wealth was dead. Populist reforms in the 1890s brought more political power to small white farmers, but African Americans were disenfranchised and increasingly segregated. By the beginning of the 20th century, South Carolina was starting to recover economically. The textile industry began to develop first, then in the years that followed, other manufacturers moved into the state, providing jobs and economic stability. In recent years, tourism has become a major industry, as travelers cover the state's beaches and mountains. On September 21, 1989, Hurricane Hugo struck the coast, causing great damage to homes, businesses, and natural areas. But the state had made a remarkable recovery in the ensuing years. The second half of the 20th century also brought enormous change in the status of Black South Carolinians. The Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s brought a relatively peaceful end to segregation and legal discrimination. The most serious incident of this period occurred in 1968 at Orangeburg, where state police shot three Black protesters. 2 years later, three African Americans were elected to the state legislature, and many others have subsequently served in state and local offices. As the century drew to a close, all South Carolina citizens were able to take part in the state's government and economy. During state and history, U.S. forward to North Carolina, to South and West by borders to the north and northeast by South North Carolina, to the south and west by Georgia, and the southeast by the Atlantic Ocean. That's pretty much the history of South Carolina. I don't find anything else here. Native American. This is from the state, South Carolina State Library. Leader, Osceola, or Rising Sun, a Seminole leader, 1838 illustration from the Indian tribes of South America. Okay. Biographies. James Brown. James Brown's... here's some people from South Carolina, I guess. James Brown, Alice Childress, Chubby Checker, from the favorite commanding of 20th century popular music, King of the Twist. Checker was early to 60s. Vernon and Erin Castle. Stephen Colbert, from Culture Wars in America, study of issues, viewpoints, and voices. Joe Fraser, Dizzy Gilpin, Julius Joe Jackson, Jasper Johns, Eartha Kitt, Mickey Spillane, Chris Rock is from South Carolina, Charles Pinckney, Corny Boyd Riley, Strom Thurmond, Thomas Sumner, Jesse Jackson, Andrew Jackson, Nikki Haley, John Edwards, John Cadwell Calhoun, and Mary McLeod Bethune. There's some people that were from South Carolina. So let's get into these monsters, these cryptids. This is off from cryptozoologynews.com. Dinosaur shows up in South Carolina. A dinosaur-like creature was reportedly spotted in South Carolina. Colombian resident Anita Sullivan told Cryptozoology News she was driving with her husband on Interstate 20 on November 30th when they came upon the animal at around 12:30 p.m. She's quoted as saying, "We were headed eastbound crossing the Broad River Bridge. I was just looking out of the window casually and just happened to see what at first looked like a large snake moving slowly down the river, with his body moving slightly under the water," said Sullivan. "It was coming north towards the bridge and looked like to the left as it came up above the water. What am I yelling for? Above the top of the water. A sighting purely lasted about 10 seconds, and Sullivan said she was not able to snap a picture of the aquatic being. She quotes as saying, "I was so excited and freaked out, I didn't think to take a picture." The long-necked animal was described as being black in color. "It was finally breaking the surface of the water. I thought it was a baby dinosaur." But Nina says her husband, the driver of the vehicle, didn't see it. "I immediately told my husband, and I wanted to report it, but he didn't think anyone would believe me. Started yelling, calling my name, Nita, Nita, as if I was crazy," said Sullivan. 3 weeks ago, a man in Canada reported seeing a similar creature. The Loch Ness Monster was probably first seen in 1933 by Londoner George Spicer, who claimed to have seen a dragon or prehistoric animal, carrying an animal in its mouth. 7 months later, Hugh Gray released a photograph containing the alleged plesiosaurus. Subsequent photographs were produced throughout the years, although many of them were proven to be hoaxes or simply floating tree branches. Alright. Next one is from, this is from 3 years ago. South Carolina man witnesses two red Bigfoot creatures. A man in Spartanburg County claims he saw Bigfoot twice. A man reporting the sighting, Pescolette resident Charles McDonald, told Cryptozoology News on Tuesday that he was out in the woods when he saw the creature. I was hunting deer last season when I saw it for the first time. I was totally astounded and thought I was seeing things," said McDonald, also provided a phone number to talk about the event. The man explained that a few weeks later, the Bigfoot creature showed up again. "It was in the same area. I was so shocked I didn't think about it using my weapon." McDonald described the animal as a 7-foot-tall biped with reddish brown hair and a weight of approximately 300 pounds. "With this deer season fast approaching, I'll be hunting the same area again this year. I'm not sure that I won't use my weapon if I see this thing again." Cryptozoology News advised the man not to shoot the alleged creature, to gather photographic evidence instead. Pensacola resident claims he hadn't told friends and family, but that no one believes him. "Everyone tells me I was imagining this," he explains. The town of Pensacola was founded in 1859 and has a population of 2,500. In 2011, a South Carolina man claimed to have clearly seen a Bigfoot creature just outside his home in Lexington County. A man claims he saw a large bipedal creature outside his home in Lexington County, just outside of Batesburg, Leedsville. 20-year-old Lewis told Cryptozoology News he was sitting on his front porch when the incident occurred. "I was sitting alone. I saw a movement in the tree line," he said, about the midnight encounter in the summer of 2011. At first, explains Lewis, he believes the animal was probably a deer, but that as it stepped out of the shadows, he was able to see it clearly. "It came into focus. I ran inside searching for someone, anyone to see what I saw, and maybe even to find a gun, if need be." The Batesburg resident says sighting lasted about 5 minutes, describes the creature as a 6 feet tall, shaggy bipedal. "There's a local legend around the neighborhood about the shaggy thing. I never believed it, but now I'm convinced. I've never seen shaggy thing. I've seen the shaggy thing," said Lewis. He did not present a video or photographic evidence of the alleged incident. Back in March, a group of people released an audio file of what they call Bigfoot yells in South Carolina. A team of researchers says they have captured a series of unidentified yells in the westernmost parts of South Carolina. Melissa D. George, 48, and co-founder of the 2-year-old Carolina Cryptic Crew organization, told Cryptology News that the screams were captured at 3 a.m. on March 2nd at her property located in upstate Oakland County. "I lived here 29 years, and I never heard this until recently," said George. "We found evidence of Bigfoot on our property. Our property soon became our team's research area. If listening with headphones work best, as this is quite a distance from the audio recorder." The audio file, which lasts a little over a minute, contains a series of high-pitched howls interrupted by what appears to be a hooting of a nearby owl. George claims that she... I probably won't put that in there because it sounds like nothing. George claims that she and her team have experienced wood knocks replies. They have noticed other strange activity going on in the same area. "We heard something walking around in our research area that night before, so we went to see if there was any evidence left behind. We got some sticks piled up, and they are pretty good size," she said. Lumen, who calls herself a ghost and cryptid hunter by night, has also authored a few books on different paranormal subjects, from the demonic activity detailed in My Paranormal Life, A True Haunting, to her family's own Bigfoot encounters, told her 2014 title, Bigfoot Chronicles. She says she is sure that she had heard what's not an animal known to the locals. "I am barely familiar with all the wildlife. I grew up here. In recent years, some people have made similar claims about Bigfoot living in their own backyard." In 2014, Mary K. Scruggs, a minister in Alabama, said she believes there are a few Sasquatch creatures living around her property. She also released the capture sounds of what she thinks could be a baby Bigfoot. The Lizard Man. In a folklore of Lee County, South Carolina, the Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp, also known as the Lizard Man of Lee County, is an entity said to inhabit the swampland of the region. First mentioned in the late 1980s, the purported sightings and damage attributed to the creature yielded a significant amount of newspaper, radio, and television publicity. This is from the Wikipedia, by the way. Professor of Religious Studies Joseph P. Laycock described the media frenzy and subsequent cult and appreciation for this and other similar claims as following a predictable chain of events. A strange sighting, media attention, more sightings, followed by visits from curious tourists and monster hunters. Researcher Ben Radford states that this is a compelling story, but several important aspects wither under skeptical scrutiny. History on the Lizard Man. On July 14th, 1988, the Lee County Sheriff's Office investigated a report of a car damaged overnight while parked at a home in the area of Browntown outside Bishopville, South Carolina, on the edge of the escape or swamp. The car reportedly had tooth marks and scratches with hair and muddy footprints left behind. Sheriff Liston Truesdale noted this was the start of various claims that eventually coalesced into a story about a lizard man in a swamp. Prompted by the news of the vehicle damage, 17-year-old local Christopher Davis reported to the sheriff that his car was damaged by a creature he described as green, wet-like, about 7 feet tall, and had three fingers, red eyes, skin like a lizard, snake-like scales 2 weeks prior. According to Davis, he was driving home from working the night shift, and at a fast food restaurant with his car got a flat tire. After fixing it, he saw a creature walking towards him. Davis got in his car and began to drive, but the creature was soon on top of the car. He applied his brakes, causing the creature to roll off the car, giving Davis enough time to escape. Coverage by newspaper and media resulted in increased attention for his claims. Local businesses began selling Lizard Man t-shirts, and the local Chamber of Commerce encouraged media attention as good for the community. The increase in newspaper and media publicity prompted further reports of sightings. The area soon became a tourist attraction for visitors and hunters. Local radio station WCOS offered a $1 million reward to anybody who would capture the creature alive. On August 1st, Kenneth Orr, an airman stationed at Shaw Air Force Base, filed a police report alleging that he had encountered the lizard man on Highway 15. And he had shot and wounded it. He presented several scales and a small quantity of blood as evidence. Orr recanted this account 2 days later when he was arraigned for unlawfully carrying a pistol in the misdemeanor offense of filing a false police report. According to Orr, he had hoaxed the sighting in order to keep stories about the lizard man in circulation. Reports of the creature gradually declined at the end of the summer. Local law enforcement officials speculated that the signs were likely to have been caused by a bear. In 2008, CNN mentioned the lizard man legend in a story about a couple in Bishopville, South Carolina, reported damage to their vehicle, including blood traces. A blood trace was simply found to be from a domestic dog, though the local sheriff suggested it might have been a coyote or a wolf. In 2015, local television station WCIB featured photos and videos claimed to be lizard man, allegedly taken by unidentified individuals. In August 2017, a South Carolina Emergency Management Division sent a humorous tweet regarding possible paranormal activity during the solar eclipse that passed over the area, hinting that the people of Lee and Sumner counties should remain vigilant for sightings of the lizard man. Skeptical investigator Ben Radford states that the details of Chris Davis' stories do not hold up under scrutiny. Sheriff Truesdale stated that Davis' story never wavered, but Radford writes that isn't true. Over weeks and months and repeated tellings, details changed many times, from having scales to the creature being packed with mud. How far away Davis was from the creature when he first saw it, and whether or not it attacked the car. Radford questioned how Davis was able to see details of the lizard man creature at 2 a.m. when there was no lighting nearby in a heavily wooded area, when the moon was not bright. If this was an aggressive creature, why was there no other incredible sightings? According to Radford, timing of Davis' story didn't make sense. If Davis saw the creature in the shadows, while he was closing the trunk of his car, Davis still had to get back into the car and take off. Yet Davis claims that the creature was so fast it caught up to the car when he was doing 40 miles per hour. Reports vary with the sources that Davis told the police about the attack 2 or more weeks later. After investigating, Radford states that the lie detector test administered to Davis may have been a publicity stunt by Southern Marketing Incorporated, a company arranging personal appearances for Davis. Another curious issue was that there was no photographs of the damage to Davis' car, which provided some evidence that something happened. Newspaper accounts give various descriptions of damage to the car. In one local newspaper, Davis is quoted as saying he escaped with no more than a scratch on his fender. Radford states that Davis' report is quite literally incredible, riddled with both impossibilities and impossibilities. It may be sincere or maybe a hoax, but in either event, no hard evidence of the creature has been found. In 2010, a TV program, Death Station Truth, featured the legendary creature. Children's books such as Manual Monsters and Bizarre Beasts include the monster in their bestiaries. And Linda Godfrey's American Monsters include a chapter on the Lizard Man. Lizard Man has also appeared on the sci-fi show Fact or Fate in all of an episode titled Reptile Rampage. The original controversial story ran in more than 100 newspapers across this country. Oh, see. Ooh, so it is a man taking you when you're getting off work. Not good at all. Here's a story I found. Hound of Goshen. In the old days before the Civil War, many wealthy Charleston planters had homes in the mountains of South and North Carolina, where they could escape the humid heat and malaria that summer months brought to the Lowcountry. The main stagecoach route was called the Old Buncombe Road, which roughly parallels Interstate 26 on today's map. In Union counties near the Newberry County line was a small village named Goshen Township. On the Old Buncombe Road, around 1850, a peddler and his faithful dog passed through the settlement. By the time a gruesome murder had occurred, being a stranger, the peddler had no one to stand up for his integrity, and after a hasty trial, he was publicly hanged. His poor white hound stayed beside his master during the hanging, and for 3 days after the dead man was buried, the dog stayed at the spot and howled pitifully. The good town folk put an end to this by stoning the poor animal to death. It wasn't very long until travelers along the old road began reporting a large white dog which lurched at their horses, and which was very white and frightening in appearance. Those brave enough slashed at the dog with their buggy whips, but the whips passed through the apparition. A dog was to follow the frightened passengers until it reached a certain cemetery, then was seen to leap through the locked gates. A Dr. Douglas was a county physician whose home was on the old road until his death obtained that the ghost dog often accompanied him on his rounds. He was never afraid of the ghosts, considered to be a friend. By 1936, the road had been paved, and automobiles had replaced the horse and buggy. But the dog was still reported by those in cars, on horseback, and folks out for an evening stroll. One night in 1936, a young man was frightened enough, almost to death by a dog, and barely reached his doctor's house before passing out. The dog was reported in the late 1970s when an old lady whose house faced the old road, now seldom used, was sitting on her front porch. She saw a large white dog come into her yard, increased in size, and leap towards her. She fainted, did away, but was able to recount her story when she recovered. The last reported sighting was in 1998, so this dog still roams the road. As a sad footnote, deathbed confession by old man in 1880s read the innocence of the peddler. Jay's note. Thanks for the story. Okay. That was the Hound of Goshen. Very cool story. And, the last one. Here's a last little bit. school. The Boo Hags of Gula Culture. Have you ever been awakened in the morning, absolutely exhausted despite a full night's sleep? Think about it for a minute. We'll come back to that. Let's take a little detour for a moment and talk about the historic Charleston City Market at 1 Market Street. Grocery vendors and butchers first occupied the original sheds of the market between 1804 and 1830. Those same sheds have withstood the years of wars and natural disasters. Today you can find all kinds of goodies, foods, jewelry, clothing, leather items, wood carvings, and much, much more. Some of the coolest things you'll ever see at a market are the woven sweetgrass baskets. Gula women and some men can be seen weaving their beautiful sweetgrass baskets or selling gula souvenirs and spices. If you're not familiar with the gula culture, let me catch you up. The gula culture is the offshoot of the West African slave trade. It's important to recognize that slaves of other origins, American Indians, Asians, etc., didn't exist in those days. But by the mid-1700s, Africans were the majority, by far. They were highly desired and with good reason. In addition to being skilled carpenters and masons, Africans knew how to farm, and in particular, they knew how to cultivate rice, an important part of Charleston's agriculture commerce. Africans with various backgrounds were imprisoned together in large numbers, and they formed a cohesive culture, the Gula culture. Today, there are the descendants of African slaves brought to Carolinas in the 1500s. Almost 500,000 Gulas live on the eastern coast from Florida to North Carolina. Lots of Gulas live in the Lowcountry regions of South Carolina, and in particular the Sea Islands. The fact that Gula culture has been preserved for hundreds of years despite slavery, war, and natural disaster is a testimony of their resilience and fortitude. They're incredibly interesting people. Check out this video to learn more about this culture and history. One of the beliefs that Gulas hold is that the people have both a soul and a spirit. They believe that souls leave human bodies upon death, and if it's a good soul, it ascends to heaven. The spirit of a person has a different function. A good spirit stays behind to watch over the deceased's family, guiding and protecting them if needed. A bad spirit, on the other hand, is a boo hag. The boo hag uses witchcraft to manipulate people and steal energy from the living while they sleep. Gulas sometimes bid each other goodnight, saying, "Don't let the hag ride you." Boo hags are a little like vampires in that they are undead beings that feed off of living humans. They are skinless and bright red in color with bulging blue veins. To survive in this world of the living, they steal a living person's skin and wear it like clothes so they can move amongst the living without suspicion. At night, though, they shed the skin, go looking for a victim to ride. Boo hags are crafty. They can get into your house through very small openings, a slightly open window, or even a crack in a wall. Once inside, they sit on a sleeping victim's chest and steal their breath, or more specifically, their energy. A boo hag will ride its victim all night long, then sneak away before dawn to return to its skin. If it can't get back into the skin before the sun comes up, it will be destroyed. There are some warning signs to let you know that a boo hag is close. First, the air will become very hot and damp. Second, the air will smell like something is rotting. But if you've woken up exhausted after a full night's rest, you may have been visited by a boo hag. Boo hags are not without weaknesses, though. First, like other evil spirits in Gula culture, are repelled by indigo blue. If you go outside and paint the tops of your windows and frames indigo blue, boo hags won't be able to get through those windows. Salt, too, is a good boo hag repellent. A salted hag can get back into its skin, but it's difficult to salt a hag, especially since you can't just run around pouring salt on people you deem suspicious. The easiest way to avoid a visit from the boo hag is to keep a straw, broom, or brush with many bristles close by. Boo hags are apparently curious and compulsive creatures. They can't seem to pass a straw broom by without counting every last strand. By the time they finish counting, they typically don't have enough time to get back into their skin or sun comes up. Sleeves and strainers will also work because they also need to count all the holes. Some blue hags are able to count fast, so you might be able to keep a few bristle brushes and strainers around. If you wake up and discover a blue hag on your chest, it's best not to fight it. If you fight, the blue hag might steal your skin. Have you been exhausted lately? Tonight, when you go to bed, be sure to hang a strainer on your bedroom doorknob and leave a straw broom in the corner of the room. Maybe you should place a salt shaker on your night table, just in case. Hopefully there will be enough for you to have a good night. Sleep tight, and don't let the food hag ride you. That was from Sacred and Haunts of Charleston. WordPress.com. So, that's pretty much it for South Carolina. There's some dogman sightings. It mentioned some dogman sightings, but dogman. Doing a quick search here. I don't see much simply about dogman. Talked about before in Michigan episodes and stuff. Okay, I will thank you for listening to this episode of Monster Legend Podcast, Monsters of South Carolina. Make sure you got any questions or anything, leave a voice message. And so you can do so by going to the link down in the show notes. Have a great weekend. Have a great week and such, and bye.
Keep one eye open in case he doesn't follow you home.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Monster Legend Podcast. You can find everything you need to know about Monster Legend Podcast at monsterlegendpodcast.com. There you'll find the social media feed, episodes, and where you can subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. It's all free. It's all available on your computers and mobile devices. So check it out. And thank you. And share with your friends. And don't be afraid to ask me any questions. And any comments. Or a voice message. Which you can find in the link down below in the show notes. Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save